Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. We're so glad for those of you who are here with us in person, and for those of you who are watching online at home, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we begin this morning, we want to pray and give thanks for God's blessings. Our Heavenly Father, as we begin our time of worship today, we are so grateful for your loving presence in our lives. Lord, you found us when we weren't looking for you. You saw us in our need when we didn't know what to do, and you went to work to make a whole new world and to transform our lives, to deliver us from sin and death, and to heal us, Lord, and restore us to life. We are grateful for all of your blessings this morning, and we know that it's because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us that we can come before you and worship this morning. So thank you for another privileged time to gather together before you, to lift up your name, to glorify you, to give thanks, to sing, to pray, to hear the word, and to grow in grace. Lord, we ask that you will form us in faith and that you'll make us the people you need us to be in this season. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together and say the Lord's Prayer as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We also have been doing special readings during this season, responsive readings, and we have our Advent wreath lit today. All four of the outer candles are lit for us. In celebration, Jesus came into the world at its darkest moment, and now there's lots of light shining forth, reminding us that as we prepare our hearts for him, that his light is changing our lives. So we'll do a responsive reading together at this time, and I'll be the reader, and then the parts that say all, we'll say together, okay? Let's begin. We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of Christ. We are ready for Christ to come and make all things new. The fourth candle is a symbol of love. The commandments are all summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Come, glorify the Lord in the depths of your being. Rejoice in God our Savior. God has looked with favor on the low status of his servants. He has looked on us with his faithful love. From now on, we will consider our lives blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for us. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next. God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his people. He remembers his steadfast love and mercy. And we serve a God who is full of steadfast love and mercy. So let's continue in worship this morning. At this time, we'll sing some very worshipful songs, but also some fun songs here. That was fun. At this time, we do want to go to our time of prayer. Normally, we would pass the plates, but in this season of pandemic, we have plates at the back for you to give as you go today. For those who are watching online, you can click the Give Today button either on our church website, which is listed below, or on whatever platform you're watching on, there should be a donate or give button available to you. We appreciate you finding a way to continue to be faithful in your giving as we continue to spread the good news in this season. And as we go to prayer, we want to, of course, be praying for our nation and our world as we're still fighting this virus. We're thankful for the presence of the vaccines, and that seems to be underway. And we just pray that that's effective and that all of us would continue to do the things we need to do, washing our hands, wearing masks, social distancing. Just a bit longer, we all need to hang in there and do it, and hopefully we will win this fight very soon, but we believe that we will overcome it. And to pray for the transition that our country is going through politically, and to pray for leaders making important financial decisions about what will be done to help with the crisis, but also to be praying for those with physical needs, that the Lord would touch them, praying for emotional and relationship needs in our families, and praying for those who have great financial need during this season. And so as we go to prayer, I'll just invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes and focus again on the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace once again this morning, confident that you hear us, that you are in fact inviting us to come to share our hearts with you and to receive from you the grace, the strength, the inspiration that we need to live our lives in a way that is worthy of our calling in you. And as we continue in prayer this morning, we do want to give thanks for the good things that are happening around us. Lord, we're grateful for vaccines that have arrived ahead of schedule. We pray that they'll be effective with minimal side effects, that enough people will participate, that it can make a big difference. It's not just our neighbors and friends. It's not just the people in our state or our nation. It's literally all the human beings on the planet who are in danger from this disease. And so we pray, Lord, that in your mercy, that you'll continue to work and bless. We pray for those on the front lines of delivering these vaccines, those on the front lines of caring for the sick and the dying, those who daily put their lives at risk for others. We ask that you'll bless them and fill them with strength, renew them in mind and heart, help them to get the rest that they need. And Father, we just pray that all of this will work together for good. And we give you praise and thanks for how they are modeling Christ-like love and laying down their lives for others. And Father, we pray for those in our midst who may be struggling financially during this season. We ask that you will bless and restore them. For those who are out of work, we pray that you will provide work soon, Father, and help them to lean on you, Lord, and lean into all that you have for them during this time, to not pull away, but to realize that we are rich in you and all the blessings that we have in Jesus. But help us all to do what we can to make a difference. And Father, we pray for those of our congregation who are sick and in need of your touch. We ask that you'll bless them. We pray for those with procedures coming up, that you'll go before them, prepare the way, restore them to health, and restore them back to us. And Father, we pray that as we are encountering others during this season, we will indeed let the light of Jesus shine through us. And during this time of transition for our country, again, may Christians be peacemakers during this time. May we set aside conspiracy theories, Lord, and whatever our beliefs are about how things went, now that things are moving forward, I pray that we will be people of peace, people who are good news to those that we meet. Help us to be encouragers. And we believe, Father, that you will be faithful no matter who is in a particular office at a particular time. You are the one who provides for all of our needs. And so as we continue in worship today, help us to focus on the love that you showed us and how that love can make such a huge difference in us and in our world. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, amen. All right, this time let's turn our attention to God's word. And we'll be in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And so I'll invite you to stand in honor of God's word. And here is the word of the Lord. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And this is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. So the love of a mother is a wonderful thing. And in fact, it's so wonderful that we have a whole holiday set aside to celebrate it, thanks to our friends at Hallmark, right? Because of that, if we aren't careful, we could read today's text through that lens. But if we read it through the lens of two mothers who love their children, we could miss the truly miraculous things that this text is talking about at a deeper level. To reduce this text to the love of two mothers, Elizabeth and her relative Mary, would be in some sense to place love in a box and reserve it for biological connection. And that would miss the very miraculous way that this story is actually going around the usual guidelines of biology. Amen? Elizabeth is far too old to conceive. And Mary is a virgin, and yet is to conceive. But it would also miss something even greater, that love, true love, while not reserved to those with biological connection, is also not just about feeling. It's about something so much more. It's about the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness that we can experience in love. And while the faithfulness of a good mother might be a blessing for some, or the fact that we are loved by God, you might call that our belovedness, it's not contingent on our own faithfulness. It relies completely on the never-ending faithfulness of God. Amen? So, here we have a story that is unfolding that is unlike any other story. And Zechariah and Elizabeth become part of an old tradition of God miraculously doing something new. It says in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's where the text begins. It's the miracle of conception of John the Baptist sets the stage for another miraculous conception. The sixth month also is past when a person can hide a pregnancy. It becomes obvious by that time. And by the sixth month, there's no doubt whether the pregnancy is viable. The child's movements in life can be felt. So the narrative of Elizabeth's pregnancy echoes the pregnancy narratives and God's abounding faithfulness from the Old Testament. Sarah also conceived in her old age. Hannah prayed fervently for a child at the temple. Samuel was dedicated as a Nazarite, which meant he could never drink wine. And the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah that John is never to drink wine either. God worked in unexpected ways throughout the Old Testament to illustrate God's faithful love for God's people. Even though there are numerous examples that the children of God didn't always reciprocate the faithfulness that God showed to them. So here we have kind of a microcosm of the promise of the Old Testament, that God does break through and do unusual things during unusual times to pave the way for his unusual grace to unfold. And how wonderful it is that then Elizabeth is in position to mentor and help Mary during this time. Two ladies experiencing something miraculous that was about more than them. Something that would affect all the ages to come. They were uniquely positioned to encourage one another as they experienced God's miraculous grace. So the story of John the Baptist's conception seems to be an ending to the age of the prophets, signifying that something new is coming. Even the conception narrative of John the Baptist seems to point forward to something new. John is going to be like Elijah, the prophet. He's going to bring people back to the Lord, and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And Zechariah is mute during this time. He cannot speak. And all the women said, amen. No, I'm just kidding. But that also just seems to highlight the specialness of what is happening. Again, something miraculous happening to him that's a sign that something powerful is coming. And then Mary becomes part of an old tradition with a something new twist. The announcement of Mary's pregnancy, we call it the Annunciation. In many ways, that also echoes the birth narratives from the Old Testament and even Elizabeth's pregnancy. There's an angel delivering a message, even repeating, "Do not be afraid," although how could she? And as so many others have done, she experienced the miraculous presence of a messenger of God with a message that would change her life, but in this case, also change the whole world. And I'm so thankful that that moment happened. A miraculous birth is coming, and a special baby will be born. And among the echoes, it becomes clear that it's not just something different happening here. The singular event is set in motion that changes the world and makes salvation possible. The other birth narratives happen to couples, but this one is happening to Mary through the power of God. The other birth narratives, while they acknowledge the work of God, don't really mention the Holy Spirit all the time. And there's a definite Trinitarian element to Mary's conception. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in this process. And while many of the other women fervently prayed for years for a child, this birth is wholly unexpected and unplanned from Mary's part, but of course, very well planned from God's perspective. The other women have had husbands, and Mary is betrothed, but she's not married yet, which puts her in a precarious position if she becomes pregnant. Her fiancé, upon discovering her pregnancy, would have the right to have her stoned to death for adultery, or he could divorce her at the very least, and that would leave her at the mercy of her father, who may or may not be willing to take her back. But the angel declares that Mary is actually highly favored, but we don't yet see what this means, just like she doesn't. She seems to be an ordinary Jewish girl going about her life. And some scholars point to her name, Mary, which is a variation on the name Miriam, as evidence that she must have been raised in a particularly devout Jewish community. Yet nothing about this reality would set her apart as extraordinary, since others were also part of this community. And the custom for an engaged Jewish woman of that time was to live with her parents for a year while her bridegroom prepared their future home. So we can assume that Mary still lived with her parents. The angel's declaration that Mary is highly favored raises some questions. But we do already in this scene get a serious glimpse at Mary's faith. Though she is afraid and overwhelmed, she doesn't seem to hesitate at all in her obedience. And she responds in faithfulness, willing to do what the Lord has asked. And her declaration of obedience doesn't end in silence, but it results in a powerful song. Now we call it the Magnificat, and it's been set to music, that praises the deep and abiding faithfulness of God through the ages. I'll sing it for you now. No, I'm just kidding. The declaration that Mary is highly favored and that God is with her is not solely for her, but again, it's for the entire world. Emmanuel, God with us, that presence of the Lord is being born into the world. We remember the words that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and Mary is a focal point of that happening. But the true message of faithfulness and love is that God is entering our world. So God is not in an ivory tower, unaffected by the pain and the suffering and the struggles of human beings. No, God is breaking in. God is faithful to humanity because God is love. A great miracle of Christmas is that we are not forgotten, not even in a season like this, amen? Because in another dark season, God initiated and inaugurated his coming kingdom. Now, God draws near to us out of his great love. And regardless of our faithfulness to God, God remains faithful to us. And as God came in the form of a baby born of a virgin, we can expect God to enter the world in unexpected ways in every time and in every season. And here in this story, a new family is being forged. As we later see in Jesus' teachings, he's ushering in a new understanding of family. The children of God used to be based on ancestral heritage, but Mary was not a descendant of a priestly lineage, nor does she bear the traditional markings of Judaism that men bear, since she's a woman. She's not circumcised, for example. And family is usually based on biology, but biology doesn't line up here since Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key component to this new understanding of family. We call it the family of God. Amen? And we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And God's love is for the entire world, people of any lineage and background, people who have been ignored and set aside. Everyone, great or small, everyone has to bow before God, but everyone can be blessed and forgiven and restored and included in God's family. Everyone counts. Everyone matters. And so in this moment, so many miracles are going on such a large scale. The ripple effects just go out forever and ever. No matter who we are, no matter where we come from, no matter where we are at this moment, if you're having to watch on your phone at work, this word is still for you. And this grace is sufficient for you this morning. We are invited to be part of this new family. So God broke into the world in this new and unusual way out of love for us. And God desires to have a relationship with us. And because God is faithful to us, we know we can count on that relationship. Now, we know that sometimes human beings are not faithful. I've been talking this morning about how sometimes we're not faithful to God. And at times, human beings don't keep faith with one another. And that has happened where our trust has been broken. We've felt betrayed. Or maybe we have let someone down, and we have carried that with us. But in Christ, relationships can be restored. Those who have broken faith can be made faithful in Him. Those who have felt abandoned can be restored and included as part of God's family. It's something very, very new, because finally, the love of God is fully on display in our world. It's something far more than we even knew that we needed or could ask for. So God is beginning something new that we might be made new because God loves us. Though the concept that God loves us could seem simple on the surface, it can get lost among our burdens, can't it? So if someone asks us the question, does God love us? I mean, most people would say yes, right? But then in the middle of trials, in the middle of uncertainties, we often forget that. And we think we have to play games with God of hide and seek. We get angry with God and think God isn't present. And we stop talking to God. So yeah, the presence of God isn't active in our lives anymore because we haven't reached out for Him. But it's always true that God loves us and is for us and intends the best for us this morning. We need to be reminded of God's desire for us to be made new. And in the midst of that, in responding to God, it's because He loves us. It's not because He's trying to be a puppet master, trying to just manipulate everyone. He wants to love us. That's why He created us. We get to choose how we respond to that offer of love. And that, too, is an expression of His love. But this morning, understand and be reminded in this season that God went to all this effort so you could be loved, so you could be included in His family. God became Emmanuel. God with us, to be present with us wherever we are. Now, this narrative of conception can be a difficult one for those awaiting similar miracles. But the true miracle and true hope here are not about the opening of wombs. They're about the presence and nearness of God. God does love us, and God does choose to walk with us where we are, in heartache, He draws us in. In loss, he is a presence in that absence. In uncertainty, he is a guiding hand who has a plan for us. And when we're just feeling numb, he can come near and comfort, and we can begin to feel alive again. God with us is a message that rings through all the preceding weeks of Advent. It's a great bridge as we prepare to enter into the season of Christmas. It's our bridge of hope that we are not alone, ladies and gentlemen. It is a bridge of peace, that we have confidence that God is with us in all our circumstances. And it's a bridge of joy in the knowledge that we are loved by a love that is beyond measure, not because of who we are or because of what we have done, but because of who God is and what God has done for us and in us. God is with us also that we may be with others. We carry the promise of God's presence into the world. We share with others the good news that we have heard and received, that they are also loved by God. And as the beloved of God, we are invited to bear Christ in the world, to reveal the belovedness of others. You see, if God loved us, people like us, well, God will surely love them. Amen? In much the same way that Mary was beloved. Though we won't physically bear the Christ child, we are called to the same kind of discipleship that Mary demonstrated. Amen? Because whatever calling God has for us in our lives, he does call us to bear that presence of Christ into the world. And sometimes we do it in circumstances we didn't ask for, and we all understand that very clearly right now, don't we? And yet, we can be like Mary and say, "May it be as you have said." And as we bear Christ in the world, we remember that others are also hurting. Amen? Others are in need of the message that not only does God love them, but God is already with them, even in their suffering. And they just have to reach out to connect with that love, and they too can be restored. So we're called to sing words of defiant hope in the same way that Mary did. Our obedience leads to a bearing of love and truth, but it doesn't end there. This new family is the inbreaking of the kingdom of God coming to earth as it is in heaven. So, a loving family. That's really what the kingdom of God is. Now, maybe you're old like me and you remember this song, "Jesus loves me, this I know." What's the rest of it? "For the Bible tells me so," right? But within that truth is something very deep, very powerful. It's an abiding, radical love. And that love is forming a new family that we get to be part of. Amen? And though it's simple, it's sometimes easy to forget. Yes, we are beloved, but so is everyone else. And that love is to be inclusive, inviting people in to be restored and experience life together. So our joys and our triumphs, our losses, our defeats, and our struggles, all of this we experience together. We weep together when it's time to weep. We celebrate together when it's time to celebrate. And we wait together patiently for the Lord to come, but leaning in, expecting it, anticipating it, and doing what we can, when we can, with all that God has blessed us with. I believe that Christ is still with us today. I believe the Holy Spirit is still in the business of breathing life into unexpected places. And I believe the kingdom is still breaking in on earth as it is in heaven. And God is still choosing people like us to declare his message. that we could be the bearers of Christ into the world. And we can bring what all four of these candles represent. We can bring hope, peace, joy, and love with us wherever we go. And we can also know that those things have gone before us because the grace of God has gone before us. And we can look for it expectantly. Sometimes I fear that this season and the news coverage and the political things we've seen and heard, they have gotten us to expect something bad around every turn. We're constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop, and we're thinking about that in some sort of dreadful way. But let's expect the grace of God to drop, amen? Let's expect the power of the Holy Spirit to show up. Let's expect healing and restoration and hope and good things. God going to work in tragedy to bring new life. That is our hope. And we can be confident that is the kind of love that God has and the kind of love he continues to show. May the whole world remember that they too are beloved. And may everyone join in this beautiful new family, being united by the very breath of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that this message came to Mary. I'm so thankful that she said, "Yes, Lord." And I pray that we'll receive the light of that love and that it will flow powerfully through all of us this season. But if you needed to be reminded this morning, hang on to that love and let it live in you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you've really taught us what love is and can be. And Lord, though at times we may have fallen short, you still loved us, Lord, with an unending love. You still have a holy passion for each one of us to be formed in faith, to grow in grace, to be bearers of that love into our world. So this morning, again, I pray for the one most in need of a reminder of the powerful love that you have for them this morning. Go to the one most discouraged, most downtrodden, the one who's been abandoned and left behind by others this morning. And I pray that you will powerfully move in, that they will be aware of that love in this moment and open their hearts to it, I pray, just as Mary did. Though it's easy to turn away, Lord, may we turn toward you and find the richness of life in you and in your family. And I pray for any one of us who've let our hearts grow cold during these seasons of trial and tribulation, during these seasons of conflict around us. May we remember again what is possible, and may we expect good things out of life again. So come and restore our jaded minds and hearts. Renew us, Lord, with the innocence of this kind of love. And may we be reminded of Emmanuel, that God is with us. And so in every moment, we dare not give in to the cynicism of the age. And Father, just for all of us who are just kind of a little wobbly in the midst of all this, just remind us of the strong ground that is underneath us in Jesus. And may that love lift us today. And may we come alive again, ready to share the love of Jesus in our world. And Father, I just pray right now that everyone here this morning, whether they are in the room with me just now or watching online, watching live or maybe even watching it later, that in this moment, the only thing that they will hear is the love of Jesus ringing loud and clear. And Father, I pray that as we say yes to you, that our world will benefit, that everyone we know will be blessed by you. And this morning, with your eyes still closed, if God is speaking to you and you're experiencing in a fresh way his love, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you watching at home, respond in some way. Just open yourselves fully to the love God has right now. Father, thank you for working in our lives. Thank you for working in Mary. And we're so grateful this morning for her faithfulness. May it light the way for us in what remains of this season. To your praise and glory, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good, God is faithful, and God loves you this morning. Know that. Let's stand together. Let's declare the Apostles' Creed, this faith that we live out and share each day. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, as we continue to celebrate in this season, we're going to do something different this year for Christmas Eve. Our service is going to be online, and we will still want to be sharing that moment together where we light the candles together as we sing Silent Night. So before you go, Helen has a kit for you that she will hand out that you can be set up and ready on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m., just as normal. That's when the service will begin, but you'll watch it online the same way that you're watching now. And at home, though, we want to still have that powerful moment together when we shine and sing about the light and love of Jesus. So be prepared to celebrate in that new and fresh way, but as you go now, go as the beloved people of God. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit to live the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.